Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. There's growing concern along the Cassiar and Alcan highways after cases involving dead and missing travelers. The CBC reports that two teens are missing after their camper was found burning along the Cassiar Highway in northern British Columbia Friday. The two men, ages 18 and 19, are from southern BC and headed to Whitehorse and have not been in contact with their families in recent days. Their pickup camper was found burning in the Dease Lake area near where another man was discovered dead at a highway pullout Friday. The RCMP is working to positively identify the man but say it is not one of the missing teens. They say it's unclear if the two cases and that of a young couple found murdered earlier last week about 300 miles away along the Alcan near Liard Hot Springs are related. University of Alaska regents are meeting in Anchorage to consider a declaration of financial exigency, a status which allows expedited budget cuts, including faculty layoffs. Regents initially considered the declaration last week, postponed voting until July 30th, but then moved it up after UA's credit rating was significantly downgraded. Moody's Investors Service pointed to UA's failure to take action to reduce spending in light of an extreme reduction in state funding. At last check, regents were in executive session in a meeting that's scheduled to run until 1 p.m. The Alaska House has again failed to approve funding for the state capital budget. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that Minority Caucus Republicans yesterday voted against drawing the money from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. Approval also would have restored money to 54 state accounts, which cover a range of programs from power cost equalization to college scholarships, as well as provided funding for a new criminal justice law. North Pole Republican Representative Tammy Wilson, who recently joined the Minority Caucus, says she's open to maintaining some of the accounts, but not all of them.
Do I think some of those funds should be able to go back in? I'm willing to have that discussion, but not put all of them back.
Those who favor the funding say it would support 15,000 private sector jobs. Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins says allowing the 54 funds to be swept would be a mistake.
It just breaks stuff. It doesn't accomplish ideological outcomes. It doesn't achieve policy goals. It just makes stuff stop working. That's what it does, and that's the reason why the sweep has never been debated, negotiated, or compromised over.
Anchorage Republican Representative Kelly Merrick was the only Minority Caucus Republican to vote for the bill. She says she has concerns, but capital budget funding must be approved for the state to receive nearly $1 billion in federal funds.
This bill means good jobs for Alaskans, and I am not willing to play politics when there is so much on the line.
The bill passed 27-6, but three-quarters of the House must vote to draw money from the Constitutional Budget Reserve. The separate vote for that was 25-8, falling five votes short. Seven Minority Caucus Republicans were absent, including Interior Region Representatives George Rauscher of Sutton and Dave Tallarico of Healy. The Senate bill passed 19-0 on Saturday. The Senate changed the bill to include the draw from the Constitutional Budget Reserve before sending it to the House. The House will have a chance to reconsider the vote today when some of the absent members are expected back. It's the 15th day of the 30-day second special session. Governor Dunleavy has put funding the permanent fund dividend and the capital budget on the agenda. Members of both majority caucuses also have expressed an interest in maintaining the separate accounts and restoring funding for at least some of the budget items that Dunleavy vetoed. The Federal Veterans Affairs Agency plans major expansions in Alaska. Alaska U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan says that includes both services and facilities.
In Fairbanks, in the Matsu Valley, in Anchorage, in the Kenai, and in Juneau. That is all in train. That is going to be significant construction. But most importantly, it is going to be able to deliver better services for the men and women who serve in our military.
Sullivan spoke in Fairbanks Friday along with U.S. Secretary of Veterans Affairs Robert Wilkie, who describes the planned VA Alaska expansion as part of a nationwide push to improve service.
It is my goal to open up the aperture on funds that can come to Alaska to help in the elimination, the prevention of suicide. We're doing that with homelessness, and I think we're on the right path.
Secretary Wilkie says he's presented the largest budget in VA history, $220 billion. Money, he says, can help Alaska as state funds for health and social services programs are cut. Wilkie also pointed to nationwide VA reforms being piloted in the state.
The electronic health record is going to be tested in Anchorage. The reforms of our supply chain, be tested here in Alaska. There's a reason for that. It's one place in America where you go and you don't have to explain military service to anyone.
Alaska has the highest per capita percentage of veterans in the country, but Wilkie noted that 50% do not access VA programs, one of the problems the recently launched Mission Act addresses.
Get people out with this funding into the hinterlands to go find those folks who are not part of our system.
Wilkie and Sullivan spoke after a closed hearing with local veterans. Meeting, Sullivan says, highlight a familiar problem.
The VA is a big bureaucracy. It's bureaucratic. It can be frustrating.
Sullivan says the expansion of federal VA facilities and staff in Alaska should help, noting that the state was recognized last year by the VA for most improved patient service. Sullivan and Wilkie emphasized that Alaska's veteran population is expected to increase with the basing of F-35s at Eielson Air Force Base and the ongoing buildup of missile defense facilities in the state. Warm, dry weather is expected for the first part of the week across the interior. National Weather Service meteorologist Aaron Billings says high pressure is forecast to boost temperatures.
Locally in the Fairbanks area, we're looking at around 80 for today, and then the lower 80s for Tuesday.
The trend means increased wildfire activity, and there is a dense smoke advisory in effect for areas south of Fairbanks, including Salcha, Delta Junction, Fort Greeley, Harding and Birch Lake, Dry Creek, Dot Lake, and Healy Lake. Billings says the high pressure is forecast to slide east beginning Wednesday, allowing isolated thunderstorms to develop over the eastern interior. I'm Dan Bross.